Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into Attacking Third, a CBS Sports Soccer podcast. I'm Lisa Roman, CBS Sports host and NWSL analyst, alongside Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBSSports.com. It is officially March and it is Women's History Month. Here at Attacking Third, we are rolling out a very special series every single Tuesday throughout this month. We're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Title IX with our Title IX Tuesdays starting today. Each Tuesday, we are speaking with some pretty incredible women who are just game changers in their fields, from athletes and Olympians to trailblazers and sports media influences. We have so many great conversations coming up for everyone this month. As a quick reminder, you can follow us on Twitter at Attacking Third. And if you're listening as a podcast, please give us a 5-star rating. It just takes a second on the Spotify homepage and it really helps out the pod. If you like Title IX Tuesday series, drop us a comment on Apple Podcast with a 5-star review telling us what you liked and your favorite guests. We really do want to hear from you all. So today on the show, we are starting the Title IX celebrations with a very special United States Women's National Team guest, Sam Mewis. Sam talks about how she grew up playing soccer, how it was normal for her and the boys to have teams and to play, her influence of the 1999ers and the Women's National Team, and how now she is a role model on the national team, hopefully projecting to younger girls what it takes to play at this level. She also talks about the NWSL CBA, how the women's national team and the men's national team now gets to join together to create a CBA. It is a great, great conversation. So take a listen to our Title IX chat with Sam Mewis.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports Soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, joined today as always by my colleague and co-host, Lisa Roman. We are continuing our Title IX Tuesdays throughout the month of March. And today we are very lucky to be joined by a very special guest, Sam Mewis, United States Women's National Team and KC Kern midfielder, a 3-time NWSL champion, a 2-time world champion, Olympian, 2020 U.S. Soccer, Female Player of the Year. So many accolades. I can keep going, right? Sam, welcome to Attacking Third.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We're out to chat with you. We've been doing a little bit of a celebrating here on Attacking Third, celebrating the 50th anniversary of Title IX. It's been interesting to have this chat with so many different women in different spaces of sport. And I know for Lisa, myself, and you talking about this a little bit, it's been in place for 50 years, so before any of us were born. But for you, if you could speak a little bit to your experiences as a soccer player, why is something like Title IX so important?
I felt like growing up, I had every opportunity that I could have asked for. I think I was born in 92, so Title IX had been in place for a while. And I just think in my community, girls playing soccer was applauded and welcomed. And it was this exciting thing. And I never even thought about there being a difference between boys and girls playing soccer. So I think that just speaks to how far Title IX has allowed women in sport to come. And I felt growing up like, yeah, I could play any sport and be fully backed and fully supported doing that.
Sam, you also played NCAA Division I soccer, right? UCLA, you won a national championship there. During your sophomore year of college, I mean, you said you were just born in 92, my quick math, that was when the WPS folded. So the professional soccer league ended during your time in college. As a college player in 2012 and at the top of your collegiate game, were you aware that the professional league had folded at that time? Did it affect you at all? Did you have plans to play professionally? Do you remember this?
I do remember when the league folded, and I knew that that was obviously not ideal, I think I always had such faith that it would come back, and fortunately it did. And my sister, who was 2 years older than me, obviously was really affected by this as well. So I think she was in maybe the first draft class for the NWSL, and kind of seeing that take off again and seeing her journey through the league for a few years before I entered myself was obviously great to see. I also think that women's soccer has had so much momentum at such different times. So kind of that build up from the 2015 World Cup and then winning, I think just lent a lot of momentum and a lot of like hype to the country and to the sport. And that was definitely a big part of this kind of new rallying around the NWSL.
So for yourself, I know you've chatted about this a little bit before in the past, talking about 2015 right now, right, with something like the World Cup, and talking about, you know, getting inspired, you know, in terms of your playing career. You mentioned your sister, Christy, being a few years, right? When you think about the 99ers, right, I've heard you talk a little bit about their influence, right? What does it mean to sort of see maybe that generation of players, right, when we're talking about Title IX, sort of go through the experiences that they went through? Because they've also been vocal and on record and talking about the things that they've had to go through, and that sort of seeing this transgression to now, present day.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are the women, and even some women who came before them from the onset of the national team, really paved the way for all of us, I think, especially with this equal pay conversation that we've been having. We owe so much to those women who really started the team and who put women's soccer on the map. Those women like April Heinrichs and into the 99ers. It's been such a long journey, and starting from somewhere like Title IX and getting to somewhere like we are today has taken so many people's commitment to kind of fighting and demanding more. So I just think that hearing stories or realizing that the opportunities that I've been so lucky to have not always been there for women, it's really eye-opening, and it really kind of makes you see how important it is to keep this fight going and to keep supporting women in sports, because I think it's just such a valuable thing.
Let's fast forward a little bit to this year. So you're currently in preseason, right, with KC Curran. NWSL is fully in the swing of preseason vibes. But this year, the night before the 10th annual year of NWSL kicks off, there was a little bit of groundbreaking news, right? Some historic news with the NWSL and the Players Association ratifying the first ever CBA. And that's something else that we also have been celebrating on Attacking Third. And we just wanted to get your initial thoughts or your feelings about sort of seeing that kind of come to light with this very first ever CBA for NWSL players.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel so grateful. I know that so many hundreds of hours went in from players. I know somebody like Tori Huster, and then the NWSL PAs is, I forget if she's called the executive director too, Megan Burke. I know just how much the players and how much Megan and the legal team put into that. And it's so incredible to know that there are people fighting for all of us and kind of spending that kind of time. It's just such a commitment, and to have to take what your teammates say is important to them and put it into this kind of legal language, ask for it, be told you can't have it, realize it's still really important, ask for it again. It's just such a process. And I'm so grateful. This is, the national team players who previously haven't fallen under in the same pool as the NWSL, but now we are, and I'm not explaining this well, but we are under the NWSL CBA. So I feel so grateful, and I know my national team teammates do as well, that players have fought for our rights and fought to make the NWSL a safer and more opportunistic place for NWSL players to be. So I think it's incredible. And I'm, again, just really grateful and proud of all the work that those players did.
You're doing a perfect job. I feel at this point we've done like a dozen episodes where we've talked a little bit about the CBA, because we've been talking to so many players about it. So our listeners, I feel, are pretty caught up.
Okay, great. So you guys fill in the gaps I left.
No,
super grateful. Thanks, NBZL, PA.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I love that you, what you mentioned though about sort of making that personal connection, right? Where sort of having these two fights happening adjacent to each other, whether it was on the national team side of things, and then on the NWSL player side of things, because something that sort of was really telling as the news started to roll out about this ratified CBA was all of these kind of big bullet points that kind of came out right within it. And it was, sure, it's like something, a big thing like, the minimum wage, you know, being elevated and things like that. But there were also things within it, like things like the concept of parental leave, right? Or mental health leave, stuff like that. There were all these kinds of things that we could draw these parallels, right, to direct personal player experience. So having seen that and all this stuff kind of come out, was there anything within that that maybe made you go like, wow, like this something is that resonates with me personally, or maybe for your own, you know, relationship to your teammates that you knew was going to help impact them in a much bigger way?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that the raising of the minimum salary was a huge step in making it a livable wage. I'm so grateful. I'm so proud of the NWSL players for having fought so hard for that. And I think there are things in like another type of workplace that are there to protect employees. Like you said, parental leave, adoption leave, things like that. And for the last however many years the league has existed without a CBA, those things were unclear, or they were like sometimes just relationships with that you had with your coach or your owner. And to kind of put them into like a legal document and tell players like, this is your right, instead of you need to like just do your best to advocate for yourself. I think that that's so powerful. I think I have this kind of privilege of having been on the national team and almost having been in a position to advocate for myself. But when you see younger players and newer players coming in, and maybe they don't have a contract yet, or they don't know that what their rights are, the CBA just makes that so clear in black and white. So it was so important for the league to have that happen. And then the other thing I was going to mention was the mental health leave. I think getting that in there again, if players need that and players feel like taking time away is best for their mental health, I think that that's such a valuable thing to for us to have fought for and to have stuck with. So I think, again, the players who really kind of took this CBA negotiation on their shoulders and put the time in and asked their teammates what they needed, this has been obviously years in the making. So I think it's just an incredible step for the league and is going to do so much good for the league as a whole, not just for the players, but it will really help the league become even more successful.
it takes time for these things to happen and to come about. Like you just said, I mean, years in the making. And something else that just happened last week, U.S. Women's National Team and U.S. Soccer, they settled their equal pay lawsuit that had also been going on for years. And for you, Sam, as a member of the NWSL, so the CBA now affecting you there, but also of the United States Women's National Team, this settlement between U.S. Soccer and the team and the those players that fought so long and hard for the equal pay, now that this settlement has happened, what does this mean for the equality of the United States Soccer Women's National Team?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, this obviously was something that's been in the works for years. And I first just want to like shout out the leaders of this kind of movement. I think people who were on this litigation committee, who were on all the calls, talking to lawyers, went to mediation. Like there's this group of players who really put in so much time and really kind of set this tone of what the settlement had to look like for us to agree to it. So I think just knowing them and knowing how much work it took, I think it's an incredible accomplishment. But I would be remiss to not mention that the settlement is contingent on our ratifying the CBA as well. So it's not done yet. We have so much more work to do. We need to get the CBA to a place of agreement and ratified by the members. So I think it's really important that we just shift our focus to that, and it's kind of not over yet. So I think getting a good, equal, fair CBA is the next step in kind of checking this box.
Maybe to sort of stick on that with a little bit with the sort of agreement, the settlement agreement in place for now, the next step is, right, the two national teams essentially collaborating to ratify a new CBA. So what are some aspects, you know, of this potential CBA with U.S. Soccer that are important to you?
Yeah, great question. I have some talking points. I should have pulled them up for this because I could probably give you guys so much better detail if I had them up. I think again, there's three things. I know one of them is club and country balance. I think one of the things that's really important to us is being here and available for club games. I think in the past with world tournaments and qualifying tournaments and having games in the league played during FIFA windows, that's been a huge challenge, is we haven't been as present with our clubs as we would like to be. So finding that balance is something that's really important to me. I know that the CBA being equal is obviously the first thing that both parties, of course, are aspiring to figure out what that looks like. And I'm missing a bullet point, which okay. I know this is a podcast, so I can't really do anything about it.
Those are big ones anyway. So thank you for sharing.
It's all right. We didn't prepare you to bring your notes on this. It's all good.
Yeah.
We're celebrating the 50 years of Title IX because that's the anniversary is this summer in June. And the NWSL CBA, the U.S. soccer settlement, now the CBA to come between the U.S. soccer and the national teams. But all of this coming because there was an equality before in the past. And it does take time to get to this point. But for you specifically, when you look back at your college days or even starting to play professionally or your time with the national team, any point in your professional or playing career, were there moments that you personally saw gender discrimination or you were faced with it?
I mean, the things that the national team has been fighting for over the years that have been public, some of those instances I was present for in my like youth, like I said, I think I had a lot of good opportunities and I guess I didn't even really know what I was looking for. This has been an educational opportunity for me as well. I have found over these past few years, especially, that I'm so kind of blown away by my teammates' ability to put what happens into language and put what happens into action. I don't know that I on my own could have recognized what was happening or even could have thought to do what we did. And so in that sense, I think yes, of course, I've been around this game for a long time. And are there inequalities compared to the men's game? Of course there are. I just think that my experience has been so much this learning position where I look at Becky Sauerbrunn and Megan Rapinoe and Alex Morgan and Kristen Press. And I look at these women who are asking for more, demanding better. And now I might know better how to do that in the future. So I know it wasn't a trick question, but I can't like go into an instance, but I just think that we've all experienced it in so many small ways and some big ways. And the biggest thing that I've gathered from the last couple of years is that I do deserve better. The game deserves better. And I think I've learned how to talk about that and how to demand it. And I've learned that from my teammates who kind of like led the way.
You know, it's to hear you speak about it too. I think that's probably something that resonates pretty true for a lot of maybe women could, if we're just looking back at maybe the scope and the lens of women's soccer in the United States and over the course of maybe like the last 18 months, even we can say that a lot of it has been that. And I think what I find most interesting when we do get players who come on here and we chat a little bit about this, that there are moments where sometimes they say like no to that question, because especially as like for women who are thinking about that question or they think about answering it, their experiences are always different, right? Depending on the person that you're talking about it with, you know? So I appreciate your candor and your honesty in answering that type of question. And I like, you know, hearing you talk a little bit about other players, right? And what you've learned from them, because that's something that we've seen when it comes to talking about or covering women's soccer as well, right? This concept of, you know, this concept of being a role model or being the person that, you know, other little girls look up to, right? When you're looking in stands and you see young fans cheering for you or just simply waiting for an autograph or a photo with you, like post game, right? How much of your role and your job do you see is like being a role model for them, adjacent to being a soccer player, right? How important is it to show this next generation that it's possible?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously so important. I think when I look back on my childhood, again, I was looking up to the 99ers, and it's without that kind of representation of women in sport, and then to go a step further, women who look like you in sport, I think that it was so important for me to see that. It's so important for young girls to see us continuing and my teammates continuing with that. I think there's this aspect to the game that like, I just want to be the best player that I can be. And I think in turn that will inspire girls. So I don't know if it's like part of the job technically. It's obviously this wonderful addition, and it's this wonderful kind of off field. Addition to what I do. But my hope is that the women's game is getting to a point that where what we do on the field is so valued and so important and so good, that that's kind of seen as its own thing. And the football, the soccer is what it is. But of course I want to be a good role model off the field and on the field too. But, I think that there's kind of two lanes for that. Then interacting with fans and seeing young girls is just such a fun, like, extra part that is kind of like a perk of the job.
Yeah, there's really different like categories for what you do, because it's like training and trying to be the best you can be on the field and going out and winning games, but then also being that role model off the field and talking to them. There's so many different facets of this. And even in our lives, I know Sandra and I talk about this. We get so wrapped up in what we're doing day to day and in minute to minute and trying to write out our to-do list and everything. But you have a lot of friends in this space that you're with. I mean, that's the beauty of playing sport, is a lot of time it's fun. So your sister, you mentioned her, Christy Mewis, that you've played with a number of times. She's in the NWSL, also on the national team. Your friend Lynn Williams, who's also in Kansas City current with you and on the national team. Do you ever have these types of conversations with your friends, your sister in this space, to kind of talk about maybe how you got to where you are and being a female in this space and everything that that Becky Sauerbrunn and Kristen Press are fighting for. Do you have those candid conversations maybe off the pitch with the friends that you play with?
Yeah, I think we do. I mean, I think it's such a, especially right now with everything, why we're talking about this, everything that's been going on, it's such a big part of our lives right now. And I think it has been really interesting to kind of see other people's perspectives and see how different things play into all of our experiences. I talk about stuff like this with Lynn all the time. I talk about stuff like this with Rose all the time. I always feel like I'm learning from some of the older players and kind of seeking out their advice on certain things or seeking out their opinions on certain things. We talk about this on our podcast a lot. Lynn and I have a podcast, Snacks, little plug, hosted by Just Women Sports, but we try to bring conversations like this in because not only is it fun for us to have, but I think it is really important to kind of have these kind of more honest and maybe sometimes more difficult to talk about conversations. So totally. And the best part about it is that I feel like I'm always learning better ways of thinking about things from my teammates and friends.
Nice. Let's stay with that energy then a little bit as we close out this. So something that we do with these interviews, we started with Title IX, kind of closing it out with that. We've obviously come a long way in the last 50 years. We've chatted a little bit about, you know, people who have influenced you, you know, on your journey in terms of something like gender equality. So in you, as we like get a little reflective here towards the end, how much further do we need to go, right? Because that's also a concept that we talk about a lot, that the work is never done. And what are maybe sort of some of your hopes and dreams for the next 50 years?
Oh, wow. How much further do we need to go? I mean, immediately we need to get the national team CBA working on that. After this, I have to go do a call about that. So that's in the nearest future. I think there's always work to do. I mean, there are so many other forms of inequality going on in the world right now. I mean, even just with what's going on in Texas, I think there's always going to be, unfortunately, something to fight for. And until everybody is treated equally, I think the national team and the NWSL is going to be a place that really strongly advocates for everybody, especially those who need it the most. What could we imagine for the next 50 years? Geez, I mean, financially, I want to see players getting paid millions of dollars. I want to see our league growing. I want to see more teams. I want to see just the investment continue. I'm something like Trinity Rodman's contract. I think everybody in the league was like, this is awesome. Like, this is so cool to see. We're psyched that that's a headline that's going around. I think I'm excited for her. I'm excited for the growth that shows that the league is capable of. And we all want to see more of that. So to the next generation coming up, I hope that the league, the national team, soccer, and the world is just continuing to present more and more opportunities. And I can't wait to see that happen.
Us too. We can't wait to hopefully cover that sooner rather than in the next 50 years, right?
Yeah.
Sam Lewis, United States Women's National Team star and Kansas City Current midfielder, we just want to thank you so much for joining us and sharing a little bit of your story with us on Attacking Third. We also like to thank our listeners at the end of the episode. So thanks to our audience for following along with us. You can follow us on Twitter at Attacking Third for more, or on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you listen to your podcast shows. We're available in video. Subscribe to us at youtube.com/attackingthird. And we will be back next Tuesday with more Title IX Tuesday coverage. For Sandra Herrera, Lisa Roman, and Sam Lewis, this was Attacking Third.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.